Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday sermon and give practical starting points to help you live it out, your faith, in your family, and in your community.
Ooh.
Ooh, there it is.
Howdy, y'all.
Good morning.
Hola.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Is this a new year?
It is. It's a new year. 2021. I saw 2020 wine. It's with the one in the shape of wine bottle. I mean, I don't know what this year is going to bring, but
I think 2020 led to a lot of wine.
I think it did.
And whining.
Yeah. Yep. All of the above.
All of the above.
It did all those things.
I'm guilty.
So, too.
Of both. And probably drinking wine while whining.
Hey, you know.
I just admitted it.
Wine Wednesday. We had wine Friday when I was in seminary, and we would get together like during summer Greek. We had 10 weeks to learn the Greek language. That was a lot of fun.
Sounds
by the
like
way
Dan Hoyer's worst nightmare.
Yeah. But so every Friday afternoon we kind of got a break from studying and being in class, and we would get together, and we would all, the only stipulation was that the bottle of wine had to be under $5. We'd all bring a bottle of wine and some snacks, and we would whine while drinking wine. And so we called it our Friday wine. We couldn't talk about Greek. Yes, that was, but we'd whine about other things. And it was awesome. It was necessary.
It's actually a good get to know each other.
I'm going off sugar for 40 days. So that includes wine.
Like yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a good conversation for right now.
I know.
And let's wait till next week. This week, probably okay.
No.
How's your head?
My head is all right.
Yeah.
My head feels all right. But I walked into my home last night, and I smell chocolate, peanut butter, and sugar. And then I see my husband. Mm-hmm. He turns around and goes, "Hi, honey." Scooping out unbaked cookie on the kitchen counter. And I'm like, but then I text Lori, and I'm like, this right here, this is why. I'm like this. And she's like, "So how's that sugar fast going for you?" And I'm like, I just walked away from the cookies. And I said, "I really want to eat them all right now." I said, "But I did not." So I call that a win.
There you go. So with the new year often comes new resolutions. So how many what are you guys doing? Are you a resolution maker? Do you just say it's just another day? How do you treat going into a new year? What resolutions did you make? Any?
I tried to go in it with a better attitude, but now after my so many years of doing this and going, I'm going to do this, and this, and realize that none of that ever happens. So I'm just going to go into it with none. And if I turn out at the other end, as Paul is having issues over there, if I come out on the other end of 2021 a better person, and maybe my pants are a little looser and I don't curse as much, then I call it a win.
There you go.
I'm blatantly honest. If you guys don't know me, that's the one thing I will always give you is honesty.
Yeah.
We like that about you.
I know. It's like I called Anthony out on his shoes. I'm like, "You got different shoes."
No, I've had these for a long time.
I've only
go with these pants.
Your wedding.
I do. So here's the deal. They're blue pants.
Yeah.
And I've always been you can't wear black with blue. I don't know if that's a true thing or not, but that's what I've been told. So I had to wear my, whenever I wear my blue pants, I gotta wear my brown shoes. And that's it.
Jeff has shoes like that too. But that go as specific.
Everything is
pants.
Dumb.
Paul's in a fantastic mood today, y'all. He's got
forget
Hevel. He has a head cold. And that is like,
well, I have a head cold, and then you listen to the news and you realize that everything's dumb.
Yep. So
see ya.
See ya.
Casey. I got no resolutions. So
do you have goals? Is that different? Is a goal different than a resolution?
Yes. Goals have outcomes and ways to actually tell that you made somewhere. Resolution is just like, I think I'm going to stop looking at the color green today.
But now I'm thinking about is the color green, and your speakers back there are green, and I blame your speakers for ruining my New Year's resolution.
Here you go.
The main thing is that a resolution is just like, I'm just going to do something and not have any active way of actually doing anything about it.
Yeah, I should just be a better person.
Yes.
There you go.
Tell me how.
I can tell you how to be a better person.
No, but I mean,
I'm cut looking, out I'm, sugar.
Cut out sugar.
No, that's not going
to
help.
I feel pretty sarcastic coming tomorrow, and it just might be cranky pants coming on, but you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Poor Jeff.
My wife's also going through that, and I told her I would do it with her, which I kind of am.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't do a lot of sugar to begin with, but
she said that you can cheat. So the whole thing that she's doing is, well, she didn't say like cheat. She said that the whole point of the sugar fast, is a 30-day sugar fast.
40 days.
The fact that you take out the sugar and you replace it with
Jesus
or devotion or some sort of way of getting a more better relationship with God. The problem I have with that is that I already do that. So I'm like,
see, I don't.
I don't like replace sugar with this. I just like, I already spend a lot of time.
What if you do both at the same time? I eat chocolate while I read my Bible.
Well, then you're not really doing a sugar fast.
So then it's not, I'm not replacing.
The whole point of a fast at this point would be, I'm going to mute that in case that rings. The whole point of a fast is to keep yourself,
to take your dependence off of one thing and put it on the other.
Correct. Yes.
So to take your dependence off of, because, you know, to take the dependence off of sugar or food or alcohol or whatever it is, and instead have your dependence be Jesus. And so that's what Lent is. Mm-hmm. So you're just getting, you're pre-gaming for Lent.
Pre-gaming.
Pre-gaming for Lent.
40 days, it'll be Lent.
See, well, you know, when Lori was talking to me about this, I'm like, this sounds fantastic because I am increasing my relationship with God and I love it. But there are days where I'm just like,
I just
really want this glass of wine and this box of Twizzlers because my kids.
Wait, your Twizzlers come in a box?
No, I just, okay, sorry. I just came.
Maybe she buys Red Vine.
Oh, I do love the Red Vines.
Yeah, I don't like Red Vine. My wife loves Red Vine.
I love Red Vines.
And I think Red Vine tastes like plastic.
Yep, that's why I like them. And if you bite the ends off, the top end and the bottom end, you can actually use it as a straw.
Well, you can do that with Twizzlers. And Twizzlers taste better.
Well, you could do it with Twizzlers, but now Twizzlers are so smashed. I can't believe I'm talking about this. Now Twizzlers are so smashed that you cannot make a straw with them. So Twizzler,
That is not accurate. I have drank
in honky because I have a package at home and I couldn't do it. There have been
many Crown Royal drinks I might have had and partaked in my life with Twizzler straws.
No, I have a package of Twizzlers at home and believe me, I was fist-pounded them on Sunday because I knew this was starting on Monday and I wanted to show the boys that you could turn a Twizzler into a straw. And all 12 of the Twizzlers that I bought or bit the ends off, none of them, even if I squished them the opposite direction, would turn into a straw.
I don't have this issue.
All right. So, wonderful news about all of this. If you need a straw, buy a Red Vine. If you want decent taste, buy Twizzlers.
You can tell I'm giving up sugar.
So I have a feeling these next 40 days in podcasting will just be glorious. Speaking of podcasting events coming up, next week is our 30th episode. So Paul, what's going to be new next week?
Well, we're going to try to do Facebook Live.
Ooh.
It's going to be video and audio. Actually, we might just do video and have no audio. Sit here staring at each other.
You can look at Stacey's pop of color and just...
Pop a color.
I have pink lips gone.
There it is.
I didn't notice.
Which is hidden behind a microphone.
I did notice that. It was like, that's a pop a color.
Pop a color.
Pop a color. That means I'm going to actually
I need to create a intro video and an exit thing.
Yeah.
I have a week to do that.
Woo.
I need to do some pictures with us. We actually need to do some marketing. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying we should probably do some work.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting that we're talking about. Never mind.
What? Just go. No. Keep going, Paul.
Well, I don't know. Are we done with our resolutions, Junk?
Well, Anthony, do you have any resolutions?
Mine goal-wise, I've got some goals. Paul and I we've been working at, we talked with our
instructors,
strong men who make us stronger. So we both got to the 750 pound club this last year, which is when you take your maxes of deadlift, squat, and bench press, and you add them together. Yep.
750. Now you were 755, 760.
Yeah, right around there. Paul's closer to the 1,000 pound club than I am.
I was at 780. I was only like 20 pounds heavier than you. It's mainly because of my bench.
Our squats and our deadlifts are pretty close to exact same, but you bench more than I do. So I have started 100 push-ups every day to try and work on
100 every day.
Every day.
Oh my.
To increase chest muscles so that I can beat Paul on the bench press. Our goal is to get to the 1,000 pound club. Now, I don't know if I didn't think that's quite an attainable goal for this year, but Mike said it was. So,
well,
Mike's just like, here's more weight, pick it up, put it down, and just do it. So we'll see as we move forward. But that's kind of my goal, was to try and get 900 on that so that next year I can lead to 1,000.
Nope. There you go. By the way, I did move the studio around.
Yep,
the best part is that I am no longer in the sun.
I am.
The sun just came out.
Yep.
Now you know my pain.
Now I will just close my eyes.
It's
the rest
hitting
of the
my
time.
Left one.
I did make one resolution. And resolution is more of a goal. And I will say this, preface it with this. This does not include Trinity in my goal. My goal is that I am not doing anything for free this year.
Okay.
But I told you, Trinity is not part of that.
Yay.
So Mike came to me. He's like, hey, we're going to do this show in May. And I'm like, well, how much does it get paid? And he's like, oh, well, it's free. And I'm like, no. I'm not. I told Laura, I go, well, what I'll do is I'll say no to everything, and then either they'll get paid, so we'll get more money, or I will have less work.
There you go.
There you go.
But since everything I do for Trinity is free, and I work a lot there. Yep.
And we appreciate it.
We do.
I don't know if my workload's going down. And so anyways, we're going to go live.
There you go.
It's had more work to me, but it's actually not that much work. We're going to go Facebook Live next week. Mm-hmm. I think what we're going to do, we're going to try to do both school and church.
I think so. Yeah.
And it'll be live on both pages, so it doesn't matter which one you watch.
Oh, gotcha. I was thinking at school and at church.
No, the Facebook page for the school and for the, and it will be live. It would actually be live.
Yep. So you get to join us if you want to watch live. It'll be at about 8:45 to 9 o'clock on next Tuesday morning.
Uh-huh.
That's what the 12th thing.
Yep.
So your job, listeners, this week is to like and share this post as much as possible when we bring it out tomorrow.
Yep.
And make sure you comment on it saying, these guys are going live next week. Wait till you hear this junk.
Maybe don't use junk, because that might not encourage people to join. But
Lacey's going to talk about Twizzlers.
The whole point is to encourage listening, because we're not doing this podcast. I mean, it'd be great if we actually made money on it, but we're not doing that. The main point is to promote healthy relationship with God, right?
Yeah, and to encourage how we can live that out and pass it down.
Yeah, so we're hoping that maybe this will, because a lot of people might not listen to podcasts, so we're going to try to expand that medium a little bit.
Yep.
So we can do the podcast. And the podcast, that's not going away. The podcast will be still up. So if you're not going to listen to it live, you can always listen to the podcast.
With or without video.
Or without video. And if you listen to without, it will be truncated and faster.
Yeah. Because we'll cut out all the breaks. Except now we can't awkwardly look at each other.
We'll have to.
Oh, we will. No,
there will be.
So speaking of the goal of the podcast, right, to increase relationships with Jesus and to encourage living out that faith, we started a new sermon series this week at Trinity. To the Ends of the Earth is the title, as we're going through the book of Acts. And so Pastor Hoyer kicked us off. I'm going to lead the rest of those sermons as we move forward. But what did you get out of it this week? How are you thinking about living differently? What action did it call for you? How is God speaking to you this week?
Go ahead. Well,
I was going to say, I kind of have two things. One, well, both of them came to me yesterday when one conversation when you and I were talking, you know, what did you get out of the sermon? And I kind of stood there for a minute. I'm like, and then it clicked. And I was like, oh, basically it means to go up or not go up, but talk about God openly and not be embarrassed by it, or have the the ability to lean on that more. And then I know that that seems very vague, but then later in the afternoon after school, I was having some conversations and it came up, and the conversation that started was parenting. And I consider myself, and I'm gonna throw it out there, a strict parent, because I do have rules. I don't want my kids to have a cell phone at a specific age. And if your kid has a cell phone, I think that's great. I'm not saying anything bad about anybody else's parenting styles, but kids just sometimes have way too much freedom, and their lack of focus and patience for people around them is sometimes lacking. And I'm like, well, that stems from the foundation. So if you aren't giving your kids a solid foundation, they're not going to be able to give that foundation to their kids, and their kids aren't going to be able to give it to their kids. And I'm like, oh, this is the same way as God, Jesus, religion. If you don't have a good foundation, how can you pass that on to your kids? How can you teach your kids? Well, we're going into the season of Lent, and we do this to fast from something so we can fill our hearts and minds with Jesus instead of filling it with something else. If there isn't that, your kids have no idea. So that was my two thoughts. And now I've been trying to figure out how to work that in and not sound like a cornball sometimes. Yep. I have no idea what that was.
Bunko just probably fell over.
Something fell. Yep. Superman.
Clark Kent.
Clark Kent went down.
Clark Kent went down.
But does that make sense, though? Yeah. And I'm really not ratting on anybody's parenting style. So please, by all means, that is not, do not take that away. What I mean is foundation. If you don't teach your kids how to tie their shoes, they're not going to know how to tie their shoes. And then if they can't tie their shoes, then their kids can't tie their shoes. And it's just a domino effect.
Yeah. And that's what that's why we're doing this. That's also, you know, why we've made our change in confirmation is to help parents, to equip parents with that foundation, with that ability to pass down their faith. Also, it's just reminding them that it is their calling, that Jesus calls parents to pass down their faith. And so for many parents, I have to remind them, because they get down on themselves because, oh, this doesn't come easy to me, or I think I messed up. I have to encourage, and I have to remind and say, hey, remember, right now you're turning a cruise ship. It's not going to happen overnight. This isn't a speedboat. This is a cruise ship. You got to turn it very slowly. But also remember that all the hard work that you're putting into this right now is making your children's parenting easier. Because as you put in this hard work, because it's never, maybe it was never modeled for you. As you put in that hard work to teach your kids about Jesus, to have devotions at home, to pray with them, that's just going to be something that they've grown up with and always done. And so when they have kids, it's not going to be this awkward, well, how do I pray? Or how do we read the Bible story together? It's just going to be this is what we do. And so it takes hard work, especially when you're that first generation. But that also means you might be that generation that in five generations, they look back on and they go, hey, it was Meemaw who turned our family tree around.
And in looking at that, tying it back to New Year's resolutions, one of the biggest reasons New Year's resolutions fail is because they don't have a goal. They're very vague, and they're a change you know you have to make, but you don't have a reason behind it other than I want to be better. Well, better can be any amount of things. And so if you, like, for example, one of the biggest ones that comes up every single year is for a ton of people in this nation is I want to be healthier. Like, well, first off, good on you. That's a great idea. But, without a reason to be healthier, people quickly drop off because being healthier is not as fun as being unhealthy. Working out is more miserable than not, and having sugar is way more fun than skipping out on it.
But, is it, Lacey?
Ask me tomorrow. And it's only 9:17.
Yeah.
And to quote unquote get healthier, you have to make a sacrifice. And without a goal in mind, usually those things go to the wayside because the process of getting there is somewhat miserable. And in many ways, that setting that foundation falls in that exact category. You got to know why you're doing it, not just this year we're feeling that Jesus thing. We should really lean into that. It's in order to have that work, you have to look at and go, this is going to be hard, sometimes miserable. miserable at times in changing this, but we're doing this for the reason of not only our family, but for our kids' future beyond our household. And you have to keep that goal in mind. For me, it's writing it down somewhere in a place I can see it very regularly, that I choose not to erase it when it gets difficult, because when you make a vague statement, it's very easy to get away from it.
Well, I think it needs to be defined. Like, you know, the example of, I want to eat healthier. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that you're just going to eat only apples?
I ate one thing of broccoli on January 3rd. So I ate healthier.
You have to define, what does that mean? So say you do want to have a relationship with Jesus and you don't know where to start. So your first start is, where do I start? Do I buy a Bible? Do I reach out to a friend of mine who I know attends a church or is a member of a church? Do I try daily devotion? Do I, by all means, there's things on the internet. I can't say if they're all right or wrong, but that's also a good starting point. Usually somebody knows someone that has been involved in a Bible study, in a church group, in something, youth ministry, someone knows something. And even if it's just as small as, hey, I think I'm going to attend the service once a month, you know, at least try it. At least it's a starting point. And yeah, you're going to feel awkward. You're not going to know, you know, nobody likes to go to a new church because you don't know their flow of how things go. Like, I remember going to my in-laws' church and communion is just done differently. And it's like, okay, I'm not really sure how to do this. But then you just kind of start watching everybody else. And then it becomes a natural thing.
Yeah. I think as you're talking too, I'm thinking about the importance of community and accountability. I've never been a big goal-oriented person. The last couple of years I've had exercise workout goals and I've met those. But for me, it was, I work out in a group and I have the accountability of, I'm there at these times. And if I'm not there, they're checking on me. And everything okay? Are you sick? And just that accountability for anything that you want to do. If you're reading your Bible more, who are you talking about it with? Because when you have somebody else on your side who's encouraging you in it and asking you about it, then it's a little bit easier. It's harder to just stop, and it's easier to keep motivated and be interested in it too, I think. Somebody's asking you about it and you're talking about it regularly.
Yeah. And to kind of merge those two with going back to our new series, it's To the Ends of the Earth. It's the book of Acts. It's how the early church, how faith spread. And it wasn't because they had really good pastors. It wasn't, they did, because it was like Peter and then Paul, and they were really good at what they did. But it was because the people shared their faith.
But people.
They shared their faith with those around them. And so in terms of like, because I'm assuming, and this might be a wrong assumption, but most of you who are listening to this probably go to church. Many of you go to Trinity, but I know not all of you do. When Lacey's talking about, you know, it might be awkward for a new person to go to church because they don't know what they're doing. It's best when someone invites someone with them and says, hey, will you come with me? I'd love for us to do this together, and I will walk you through everything. When you don't know what's happening, let me walk you through this. When communion happens, you know, when we don't pass the plate right now because you might get the coof from it. We're not assuming you as a first time guest are going to write a $5,000 check and that's the only way that we're going to let you out. No, that's why we put it at the back door now. That's why we put it at the back door where it's, you know, we're guarded now so that if you don't put your $5,000 check in, you can't get out the door. That's yikes. No, all you got to do is say, oh, I did it online and walk out. No. but
tools of the trade.
There you go. But that's like, that's necessary for the church to grow, is for people who are not paid staff to encourage others to worship, to ask, you know, do you want to read the Bible together? Do you want to go through this study together? Do you want to just sit down and have coffee and talk about Jesus? But it has to be this organic thing, not a, here comes, like, hey, go talk to pastor. Hey, would you like to know more about Jesus? Go talk to pastor. Because Jesus doesn't ask us to know him completely. I've got a seminary degree. I don't know know Jesus completely. I will never know Jesus completely until he returns to make all things new. And even then, I'm still a created being and he's still God. I still won't know everything that Jesus knows, but he asks us to trust him. And so it might be scary. I mean, how many of you have felt like, oh, I should do this. I should talk to somebody about Jesus, or I feel like I should invite them to church, but you don't because you're worried about what they're going to say.
Oh, and I can tell you, I've felt that.
Me too, FYI.
I'm a trained director of Christian education. You know, went to college for 4 years for this, been in the ministry for years beyond that. And still, you know, when that moment comes for me to talk to someone who doesn't, from what I can tell, have a faith life or has kind of, you know, what I would call a shaky faith life where, you know, it's kind of a on the fence kind of thing. It's still difficult. Just because you have the training doesn't make it any easier. It's still a struggle. So I can identify with that.
My big thing, if you are going to church and you don't feel like you're getting anything out of it, my suggestion is actually getting involved in stuff. Try to, my gifts, of course, have just been music. And so I kind of, I don't know, I want to say weaseled my way. It took me 5 years or so to get in there, but, you know, just get myself involved with the music and get involved somehow. I guess when I went to a church down in Blue Springs, I did their, what do they call it? Discovery class. What do we call it?
We've kind of morphed it over there. We just new member class is really all we, and that's even loosey goosey.
Well, this discovery class was kind of like a history of not only Christianity, but a history of like Lutheran church. Anyways, at the end of all that, I went to the pastor and I said, okay, you better get me involved or I won't come. It's clear as that. And he's like, well, you're a musician, right? Okay, here's this. And then next, you know, the worship leader calls me and I'm like, all right, I'll show up.
Yeah.
And then the rest is history. But it's just I think if you're not involved, I think the big thing that I was getting from the sermon this week was we can't sit here and wait for the pastor to fix it. That's really what it comes down to. We need, if you're one of those people who goes, why doesn't our church do fill in the blank? Then maybe you should start that program.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, knowing Pastor Gerber, he's not going to go no.
Well, there might be some things that I say no to. But one of the things, you know, we just started this conversation in our church council. I really want to empower people to do what's on their hearts and to move forward with some of those things, because it does so often become, I'd love to do this, or I'd love this to be done. Hey, pastor, I've got this great idea. Do it for me.
You weren't working full time anyway, were you,
no,
pastor?
No, not at all. I just work Monday a week, so that would be.
See, there, now you got something to fill up those other days.
Saturday nights too.
Well, yeah, but it so often becomes, here you go, pastor. Here's this great idea. I'd love for you to do it, and then I don't do it, and then there's this frustration of I gave him this idea. This would have been perfect, and it didn't get done, so he doesn't care about me. No, I do. I just can't do it all.
What?
I can't do it all.
That makes you feel good that somebody else can say that, because I never want to say
you're the doer of all things.
Exactly. Yeah,
you have to do it all. That's your job title. Deal with
exactly,
it.
I know. But it's nice to hear. I'm like, oh, if he can't do it all, then it must be okay. Like, I hold you up on some higher level because I feel like you have all these God-gifted abilities, and that, okay, well, if Anthony does it all, I should be able to do it all. And now I realized, I'm like, I don't have to do it all. And it's only taken me a lot of years to figure that out. I'm like, I don't have to.
Well, and one of my struggles, and same for you, Lacey, is I can do, like, physically, I can do a lot of things. Like, I can pick things up usually pretty quickly
and put them down.
And I can put them down. But I can't, like, I physically, I can do all the things a lot of times, but collectively, I can't do them all. And so that's why, like,
you just described the church.
Yeah. The body of Christ that's meant to be like different parts. And
that's amazing how that works.
Yeah. It's almost like someone talked about that.
Yeah. Somebody talked about that. And maybe it was something about the truth. You know, it's skipping my mind right now. Yeah. I'll think about it later.
I'm sorry, I cut you off there.
Well, no, but I just like it's we started this conversation at our church council and said we need to get back to having these different committees. And again, not to be so top down, because it's not, but it's saying, all right, people, hey, you really want to do something that grows fellowship in the church? Here, talk to this committee, and they will figure out a way to equip you to do that. It's not another group that will say, well, instead of making the pastor do it, I'll make the fellowship committee. Except I don't like that title because it just sounds like coffee and donuts. But let's make that. I know, I do too. But instead of, okay, the pastor's not going to do it, this committee will do it. No, this committee is set up to now equip you to do it.
It's really a support system.
Yeah. But Paul, like you started this, it's also it also leads to buy-in. When I am connected with something, when I'm passionate about it, and when I'm actually able to serve in it, now I want to bring my friends in.
Just think of Katie the comfort dog.
Yep.
The individuals who started that didn't, it wasn't like the pastor went, oh, this person said this, I should start this program. Right. Dan Hoyer and co.
Yeah, no.
No, there was two individuals, I believe, teachers. We turned
they're
around.
Not even at Trinity anymore.
Nope, they're down in Florida. Nice and warm, probably. but they decided that this is something we want to pursue. And I wasn't there, but I mean, at the time, they probably had to go and figure out funding and they had to do all this stuff. And there was work to that. And, go get training.
And now, like, it is so completely self-supported because other people have continued to buy it. And they have said they've taken it on their own. They have made this into its own separate entity. And it's fantastic because, there are times where I still, it's not like I just say, okay, you're on your own. We work together. We do things together, but they don't have to say, hey, pastor, can we do this? Hey, pastor, no, I trust you. Go spread the love of Jesus, the comfort of Jesus.
But they have a program they're working within.
Yeah.
Well, like the same thing is like, I was a Stephen minister down in Missouri. Mm-hmm. I love doing Stephen ministry. I have a counseling background. I have not used that in a while. And when I came up to Trinity, I want to throw Trinity on the bus a little bit. I was like, hey, we should start a Stephen ministry program. And they looked at me and went, oh, well, we don't know you. and so I kind of lost my steam on that. But it is something that I am going to pursue. Maybe this is my resolution. I'm not going to have a goal. No. I'm not going to do a goal. Just kidding. And I'm going to do it for free.
Boom.
And Stephen ministry is.
Well, no, Stephen ministry requires training, and you need to have people who are going to be leaders of that go do training. And then you have like train the trainers kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take some work. It's going to take a little bit of funds, and it's doable. Churches do it. But I do think that in this community, in our church community, but also in Fremont in general, Stephen ministry would be beneficial.
Absolutely.
Especially after this last year.
Yeah.
We'll just need.
Yeah. And so it is something that I am passionate about. I don't know if I have the energy myself, but there is certainly a way to fit, right.
But you know the benefits of it. So yeah. Sometimes it's, hey, this is what this can do and how it can be beneficial. And it's encouraging other people and lighting the fire under them.
Well,
and, maybe somebody does have the energy to do that.
Yeah. And the only thing about it is that like, I definitely will have the passion to get it going. I don't know if I can maintain myself. Yeah. And this is where I would like really bring people in. Just like Katie, the comfort dog, there was people who had passion to get it going and then it took its own life.
Yep.
And so I don't know.
I think also along the lines of serving, there's kind of this stigma when you're asked to serve, you assume it's going to be miserable. Like, you know, yep. it's described as a sacrifice. And whenever you put sacrifice in something, already you're like, this is going to be bad. And of course, with anything that requires some sort of effort, there is work behind it. It's not necessarily all fun and games, but I look at the situation that I walked into in arriving at Trinity before I started leading the youth group. One of the awesome people at Let It was Paul. and it was from what I could tell, the youth enjoyed it. They were connected, but I'll go out on a limb here and say that I get a lot more joy out of doing youth group than Paul did. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I was, yeah.
Yeah.
The difference is that I am, well, you're one trained in it, mm-hmm. but there's a certain age range and I was out of it. I think it's just like the energy wise. Plus, you know, I have young kids at home and I'm doing all these other things, and it was just not my one focus that I could focus on.
Yep. And too often in a church, we look at, man, I can't do this. I guess I can't do anything. We can psych ourselves out of wanting to serve because we put ourselves in this box of, I can't do this, so I won't try at all. And rather, you can find what you're passionate about. But for example, I can play drums, but as far as leading a music ministry, not my thing. I would not be good at it, and I would be miserable in doing it. But I can tell you, you know, our music ministry is a lot better with Paul in charge of it than I ever would be.
That is arguable. I will say, anybody
if
out there,
you know, my music abilities and my leading music abilities, it will not be an argument.
Well, I will say, if there's anybody out there who can play music and wants to lead, I will gladly step back and play bass.
Well, or at least take a week off every once in a while.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I would like to take a week off.
Or even just wants to play acoustic guitar. I mean, so that you can play bass guitar. Right?
Well, and to be honest with you, if anybody wants to play anything.
Yeah.
I'm not actively like out there looking for people. I need people to come to me. I just don't have the energy. I don't.
Deweese, Nebraska, +140.
Oh, technology is rocking today, y'all.
That was the call. Someone wants to talk to you.
Exactly. Maybe that was like our... Oh, no. Can you call us?
Yes, you can. Well, we don't have
a phone number.
We can get a phone number. We can get a Google voice.
We will put Paul's personal cell phone number on here. And
yeah, speaking... anyways, I don't work for the church full time. I don't work for the church at all. Yeah. I volunteer. And so I can't be out there. So a lot of churches have full-time worship leaders that can do recruitment and do different things that I'm not doing because I don't actively work there. Is that awkward?
Yeah.
No, not at all. But so, you know, as Case was saying, you don't have to serve just to serve. Like, God has given each of us different passions. And so kind of to bring this all back around, that's the body of Christ. He has given us all different passions. He's given us all different desires. Some people love to be up in front and be in the spotlight. And that's great. God has given you those passions. Some people would wet themselves if they had to stand in front of more than five people.
Did you say wet yourself?
I did.
I'm thinking some people would rather build a big tree in the sanctuary than stand up in front of the big tree and sing.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Some people would rather like
some people would do both.
Some people would rather like make the coffee and have nobody knew that they made the coffee because that's how they serve. Others would be like, "Hey, let me serve you the coffee. I will pour it for you. I will barista it as best as it can be barista'd. Here's your coffee."
I have no clue how to make it.
We need both of those people. Actually, we don't. We'll take a barista, but we don't need a barista. We can't give coffee anyway. Yeah. But they're just because you're like, oh, I tried something, I didn't like it, doesn't mean I can never serve in a church again. And so find what you love to do and do it and see how you can serve Jesus in that. It might not even be in a church. It might be in your community.
What?
You might want to throw a block party. Crazy. Not right now. And just build the community in your neighborhood and build that camaraderie so that, and also let, you know, people also would then possibly know as you build those communications and build those connections that you go to a church and that you love Jesus. And then maybe 5 years down the road, they have some struggles. And because you've built up those communications, now they know, hey, maybe I can go talk to them and they can be helpful in this. So it's not like to serve Jesus, you have to get up in front of hundreds of people and tell them all about Jesus. It might be that, but God has also created, maybe you're like, oh yeah, but this is all extroverted stuff. You know, maybe you're an introvert.
And this is all extroverted stuff.
God has made you an introvert so that you can spend the next 5 years with one person building relationships so that when they need you, you're there for them. I can't tell you what Jesus has planned for you. you. But he wants you to fit in the body where he has created you to be and to work within that body.
And I would say, on kind of tying it back to what we were mentioning earlier, if that role doesn't exist in whatever church you attend, it's not the, well, guess I can't serve. It's a, that doesn't, that might, that role might not exist yet. If you see an area where you have a passion to serve and it doesn't exist, it goes back to, you know, try and see if you can get that created. Reach out, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be church official. Sometimes it can just be starting it out on your own.
And also,
on going off of that, if you don't see a program in Trinity that you want to see and you go, well, I guess they're not going to do that, let's go find another church. That would be the, it's almost like, well, we could
church shopping. Yeah.
We could. Yeah. So it's like, well, I really want a church that does this. Maybe you want it. Maybe a lot of people have, would like to have daycare or some sort of children's thing. Well, we don't really do that. Not saying that we couldn't, but it requires work.
And not COVID.
Oh, wrong one.
Wrong one. I guess apparently I reset everything. Good thing I caught that now.
Yeah.
Anyways,
But yeah,
but so, I'm just saying, it's just like you can go and start programs.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the whole thing that Gerber's talking. Now, of course, he wants to make a committee, which he's looking at me because I'm the one that was like, I want to help this community. I want to do this committee. But I told him, like, I'm not going to do this committee if I'm going to have to do everything.
Right.
And so I'm looking at Lacey, going, Lacey, you're going to be my number one as a Star Trek. Never mind.
Yeah, it's okay. But I'm also going. I'm not going to do everything.
Yeah,
you're not going to be the doer.
You're both equippers.
I'm equippers.
And that's what we want.
I would like those. And I can figure out how to do that, because once this whole pandemic is over, I really would love for, like, once a month after 10:30 service, there's a luncheon, like a crockpot luncheon. I'm like, why not? You know, we do coffee and donuts, and that is fantastic. I'm not dissing on coffee and donuts, but I'm like, why not once a month at this time? Yeah.
The reason the why not is because it's usually, oh, pastor, set this up and prepare it, and
that's not also what I preach. Want.
Oh, by the way, I make meatballs too.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. I will.
Ooh, we could do
Meatball Friday.
We
could
have like a theme in room.
What are you talking
like
about? Meatballs. The coof might get us.
So,
well, once this is over,
can I? Yes. I don't like to interrupt anybody, but I've had
to interrupt.
Go, Stacey, go.
Talking about resolutions and New Year and all of this together, I'm thinking part of my, I don't make resolutions, but I like to reflect on the year before. What did this year look like? What was good? What needs to be changed? What would I like more of? And especially this last year, with so much being taken away and so much being different, I feel there are things that I've had in my life in the past that I think I took for granted, that now I really realize that that was worthwhile to me. And if we're looking at how can I serve Jesus, where are my gifts, where are my passions, I think we can look back at this last year and say, this is where that void was the most. For me, it was having a couple friends over to the house with the kids, having play date. Last year, I had started a weekly prayer time with my mom's group that I was part of, and that was scary to start, but I've missed that. Just that time to get together and pray together, and our kids were all crazy and noisy in the basement.
I was the babysitter. It was so much fun. I missed that too.
And just like that gathering together with just a couple people. I don't like large groups, but like for me, that's somewhere that now I can look forward once things kind of come back to normal, now that we have vaccines and things are changing again. That is something that I'm thinking, how can I now be intentional with this and not take it for granted, but say, okay, God, this clearly is meaningful to me. It's life-giving to me, so it must be to other people too. And how can we take that and be intentional in doing that in my life, but also in other people's, and talking about that.
Going off of what Stacey said, I think there can be this attitude of what can the church I'm at do for me, as opposed to how can I help the mission of it. You know, Jesus says in the Bible that he came to this earth not to be served, but to serve. And while I do think there is, you do need to have your needs met spiritually, so that is incredibly important, but it's also not our place to sit on our butt and go, gee, what is the church not doing for me as I do nothing about it. Yeah, look for the looking for those areas, because oftentimes if you're feeling a gap, odds are you're not the only one feeling that that piece is missing. There's other people who are missing that as well. And the more people that go, I'm missing this, but don't say anything, the less things will get done.
And I'm also going to call out people. If you say you're not going to do anything because you're busy, guess what? I'm busy too. I'm just going to say that out loud.
Me too.
But I had seen
this. I also too have young kids. I also too have to run around. I also have a full-time job. I'm just saying. So I know that sounds very, I'm going to be New England about it and be very blunt, but I think that's a because I don't work for the church, piss poor excuse. Sorry.
I like your bluntness, Paul. Thanks.
And I had seen a study recently, our current generation, everyone who's of working age, you know, a study was done. People feel like they've had less free time than they've ever had before. But statistically, someone went through, you know, generations dating all the way back to about 1910 and studied the free time and how people used it. Our current living situation, generation, whatever you want to call it, has more free time historically than any in the last 100 years. And I think that says to how we view free time. It speaks to the excuses we make not to use it productively. And so we have all this time, but we fill it with things that aren't church related. And we use those excuses like, I need this. And while there's certainly a value of free time, there's also a, you know, other people need you too.
Yeah. And I would say that, I mean, when my parents were working, they were probably working 50, 60 hours. People before that were working longer than that. Oh. We're now down to, oh man, I worked 30 hours.
I worked 41 hours.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that technology has made certain jobs easier so we don't have to work as hard. And the only thing we do is fill it up with more work.
Okay. So then how can those skills that you've mastered, this is the question we're going to leave you with, those skills that you've mastered in whatever area of life it is, where your passions in whatever area of life it is, how can you use that to point people to Jesus? That's the question that we want you to consider over the next week. So since we're encouraging non-paid staff to talk to people about Jesus, Lacey, will you pray for us? Oh, you just made a laugh because you thought I was going to make somebody else. And
I'm paid staff.
Oh, that's true. Stacy.
As of
Paul
yesterday,
and I are the only two. Wait. I'm definitely not paid.
But you're retired. At least you're retired.
That's true.
I can close this with the Lord's prayer if we want to do that.
That's the best prayer
okay.
ever.
Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.